Hey guys, welcome to the Tokyo Lens podcast, and as always, if you are a regular listener, welcome back. So in the last podcast episode, I promised you that today we would be having a guest, and as promised, we've got a guest today. Today's guest is fellow content creator and YouTuber from across the country out in Shikoku, Sherry. How you doing, Sherry?
I'm doing great.
Excellent. So Sherry has agreed to open up a little bit of time for us today so that we're going to put together this podcast episode. So I thought today would be a pretty good opportunity to talk about the difference between the Heisei versus Reiwa era. Now, before doing that, if you don't know Sherry, Sherry runs a YouTube channel which was recently changed to the name of
Sherry Y.
And you changed it to the name of Sherry Y from Sherry Berry in Ehime because, simple explanation.
Because I wanted to do more about like my personal life, business life, including the like introducing Ehime. And I did it because the era was changing from Heisei to Reiwa.
Okay, that it's perfect timing, right? You actually released the video so that it would, as the video finished, it would roll over from Heisei into Reiwa, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Now, for listeners of the podcast, I did a previous episode on what is this new, you know, era, what is the Japanese era and everything. It's kind of a precursor to this episode, and it explains things like how the era name is chosen and everything like that. So if that is the kind of thing that you're interested in and you want to have a proper precursor to this episode here, I highly recommend listening to that one first. But otherwise, let's just kind of jump right in. So I think one of the first questions that I have for you, Sherry.
Yes.
And I think I already know the answer because you changed your YouTube name and everything. But
yeah,
changing over from Heisei to Reiwa, does that have any significance to you personally?
For me, just because I was born in Heisei, so I don't know Showa.
Yeah.
So this is like my first time to observe the change and I'm going to like the next era. So that itself was kind of like, I don't know, like very new. And at the same time, it was like kind of weird, like strange feeling to me.
Gotcha. Okay. So I think this is, you know, it was interesting for me because I wasn't born or raised in Japan.
Right.
So the entire thing is very, very different for me. I don't have like the concept of the era. I don't have a feel for it. But one of the things that I really wanted to cover in today's podcast is kind of how Japan reacted to this change.
Okay.
Because if we took a look, like you've been in Tokyo, I'm assuming that you had access and watched a bit of TV and you saw how things were in Shibuya.
Yeah.
You've been out to the shops and seen all the products. You've seen the videos and everything on Twitter.
Right.
These are the kind of things that I want to cover today so people can get a feel for what it was really like here in Japan as the era rolled over. So before we recorded this podcast episode, we had a chance to talk a little bit about the difference between, you know, how the change has usually gone versus how it's gone this time.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that the big, big difference was that this time Japan had time to prepare for it.
Right.
And so why is that different from usual?
Because usually we don't know when exactly the current era ends. And new era starts. So we don't really prepare for anything.
Okay.
So like we had the time, at least we had like 6 months or so to know that when everything's going to change. And then we knew the name of the new era a month before it actually changes.
Okay, so in most normal situations, how far in advance do you know the name of the new era?
Well, as I said, I was born in Heisei, so I don't know exactly. But I heard that like the people decide the name. How can I say? like they announced the day after emperor dies.
So basically what happens is the emperor passes away, and then the day after they announce the name of the new era.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, sometimes the emperor will approach bad health, mm-hmm. and so they'll know that that might be coming, but you never know exactly when someone's going to pass away, right? So there's no schedule,
mm-hmm.
and there's no way to prepare for it.
Right.
But just looking around Tokyo and Japan right now, Japan was very prepared for this.
Yes.
So now this obviously being the first, you know, era change in your lifetime, which you say that this is something that was kind of an event or memorial time that you were looking forward to. How did you feel about it personally?
Personally, I don't really feel anything has changed just because the name has changed. Because I don't work for a company, right? So I don't really use, and I work with non-Japanese people as well. So we never really use like Heisei or Reiwa in any circumstance. So for me personally, it's not like a huge thing, like, oh my God, this is like, you know, new era, like Reiwa era. But as like, I see a lot of merchandise talking about Reiwa. And the Heisei is over. So I feel like this could be like a huge business chance for many people.
Mm. And actually, that's kind of one of the things that we kind of alluded to at the beginning of the podcast, that for you, it's a lot of it's like what you do is business, right? Like you changed over your YouTube name and everything so that you'd be able to focus more on sharing things about your business or how to start a business in Japan and everything like that.
Right.
But you started planning your video actually like pretty much when you found out that the new era was changing over, right?
Right.
So this is kind of something in one way or another that you were looking forward to.
Yeah, true. Because like I kind of wanted to change my YouTube channel, like the name of the YouTube channel, for at least like 6 months.
Okay.
Something like that. But I just didn't find a like good timing for it. And so when I heard the news, oh, this is it.
Yeah.
Like this is the time that I'm going to change everything.
Gotcha, gotcha. See, and by contrast, I did nothing.
Oh,
I literally made no changes. It had next to no impact on my day to day. So from your view, the fact that that had next to no impact on me, how does that look? How does that feel? Is that weird or is that just like, oh, whatever?
No, I don't think it's weird. It's like very normal. I feel like Japanese people are, this is like, you know, literally for literally first time for everyone. So I think I feel like other Japanese people are kind of like overreacting to this. So I think like what you are behaving right now, like no change whatsoever, is like completely normal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's normal to me anyway, but not everybody reacted this way.
True.
I think my personal favorite was a video that I think I saw on Twitter of a gentleman in Osaka who was on a bridge. Did you saw the video?
Yes, I did.
I think I sent it to you.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
And this, okay, so for those of you who haven't seen the video, allow me to describe it. The video is very short. It starts out with this a shot of a bridge in Osaka overlooking a river. And a guy yells out, Heisei, arigatou, which is thank you, Heisei, and mounts the edge of the bridge and goes to jump into the river below. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't hit the water.
No, he doesn't.
What's he hit, Sherry?
A boat.
He hits a boat. He just lands, and he got kind of lucky as well. He like seemed to land right in the front of the boat.
Right.
Like he didn't hit the edge of the boat or land on another passenger.
True.
So as lucky things go, you know, I think some people will just find any reason at all to celebrate and have a little fun and excitement. For me, and I think for a lot of people, that was kind of just entertaining to see. But as like a fellow Japanese person, did you feel anything when you watched that video?
It was kind of overwhelming, I guess. Like, I'm very mellow as a person. I don't have, like, I don't go to, like, big parties, even if it's, like, a countdown to New Year's or, like, a Christmas or Halloween. Halloween in Shiba is really crazy, right? Oh,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I've done an entire podcast episode on Halloween in Japan because it's getting bigger and bigger every year.
So. Yeah, that's what I heard. Like, I don't live in Tokyo, so I never get a chance to actually be there. I've seen on TV news and something like that. But yeah, I'm not that kind of person who goes out to those events and like celebrate with other people. So I was like, oh, people, that was my, like, yeah, honest feeling. Yeah.
So, that being said, I think that's a fairly decent transition over into the next part that I wanted to talk about, which was I had some friends post on Instagram, like, how crazy things were in Shibuya. Did you see any of that? Like, did you see any of the posts or news or Instagram stories or any of that?
I saw some pictures.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So it looks like things were absolutely off the hook in Shibuya. And more amazingly is it wasn't exactly good weather.
Right.
Yeah, every single person in the pictures, if you will, or in the scenes had umbrellas.
Yes.
So describe to me what you saw.
I just saw like a bunch of people holding the umbrella and gathering around Shibuya. And then there was like a title saying like countdown to Reiwa or something.
Yeah, it was basically treated like a New Year's celebration. Yeah.
I don't think they have fireworks though.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, they don't really have fireworks during actual New Year's either. So
that's New York.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. How are you getting Tokyo and New York mixed up? What world do you live in?
I thought that's like everywhere, like fireworks for New Year's.
So, okay, let's sidebar. Let's give ourselves a 30-second sidebar, okay? Do you have fireworks in Ehime for New Year's?
No.
Well, then why would you think it's everywhere?
I don't know.
Sidebar over. Okay, so getting back to, so it was really like a countdown New Year's style celebration in Shibuya. So, is that something that you're like, oh, I would have loved to be a part of that?
To be honest, like, I live in Ehime, right? So yeah. I don't think we do things like that in Ehime. And as a person who feels like I'm just like one of the tourists in Tokyo, I might be okay going out to just like observe from like very far away.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I tend to avoid the crowds myself whenever I can. So that is most definitely an understandable feeling.
Yeah, but like if you were visiting some other place, you might want to like, you know, take a look, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think if I wasn't from Tokyo, well, it's not like I'm from Tokyo. If I wasn't based in Tokyo, let's speak a little more accurately. If I wasn't based in Tokyo, that might be something that would be like, oh, that's neat to see. But it's incredible just to see the number of people that braved the weather and went out for this. Yeah. And it seemed like there were signs all over the place, like Ichimaru-kyu, that big women's shop. I just had like Ichimaru-kyu, Reiwa.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. So if for listeners, if this is something that like you haven't taken a look at or haven't seen online, I highly recommend taking a few seconds later on to Google like Reiwa or New Era in Shibuya, because it was quite the sight to see. It really was treated like New Year's. But then the other day, I made my way out actually to Tokyo Tower. And, you know, I'm sure that you went out because you went and had like lunch with some members from Tokyo Creative and whatnot. And you were, where was that, in Shibuya?
It was in Shibuya, yes.
Okay. So when I moved out, when I went out to Tokyo Tower, okay, so Tokyo Tower, for those of you who don't know, has, I think on the second or third floor, an entire shopping area with all these different, you know, souvenirs and stuff that you can buy. The number of t-shirts, pens, magnets, and everything that said Dewa was absolutely insane. Did you see much of that when you were in I imagine Shibuya would just have like shirt vendors everywhere.
Yeah, I think so. I think I've seen a few things like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was just, I think it comes back to what we were talking about in the beginning, mm-hmm. that this time Japan had the chance to prepare.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So along with the preparation came, as you said, the business opportunities. Yes. A lot of people have capitalized on this. A lot of the like TV programs and whatnot have made their money off of this by doing like the, you know, New Year's style programs for Heiwa, Heisei and Dewa. I keep mixing those up. Actually, so for listeners of the podcast, I actually had to cut an entire section at the beginning of the podcast because I kept mixing up the two words. And instead of saying Heisei and Dewa, I kept saying Heiwa.
It's really confusing.
It is. It is. So anyways, that mini sidebar over. I was taking a look, though, at some articles mm-hmm. on my phone. And I saw that in the midst of these business opportunities, there were some strange ones.
Okay.
The strangest of which I saw was an actual can of air from the Heisei era.
Whoa.
Yeah. You could purchase like a tin can filled with air from the Heisei era. I wonder how long that would last. I know that, you know, canned goods have a long shelf life, right? But they don't last forever.
True.
So I really wonder how long that the air from that would last. And where did that air come from? That's the other thing. Was it just some guy in a factory breathing into the can? Like, yeah. Yeah. So how about you, Sherry? As a local Japanese person who has been touched enough by the change of the era mm-hmm. to release a YouTube video changing the name of your channel at exactly that moment.
Yes.
If somebody gifted you uh-huh. with a can of air from the Heisei era, would that be a good gift?
I don't think so.
I'm not saying that I'm going to buy that.
I know.
But yeah, so there's always different places that are going to capitalize on these moments in different ways. For example, me originally being from Canada, a couple of years back, Canada, actually near Toronto, there was an earthquake.
Mm.
And we don't often have earthquakes. Mm-hmm. And by we don't often have earthquakes, I mean I've never experienced one in my life in Canada. The first earthquake I'd ever experienced was in Japan. And within hours of this Toronto earthquake, which by the way was incredibly small in terms of magnitude, it was like 3 or 4 or something. Okay. It wasn't even that big.
That's not that bad.
Mind you, also keeping in mind that Toronto buildings and everything aren't built for that, so it's a lot more frightening even at that magnitude than it is here in Tokyo, where buildings are made for it. Like, we got like a magnitude 7 just the other month, mm-hmm. right? So, but the buildings here are built for it. But getting back to the main point, within hours of this, there were like t-shirt vendors on the street.
Okay.
Selling t-shirts that said, "I survived the Toronto earthquake of 2000 and whatever it was."
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I think people are always going to find those business opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of business opportunities, there's actually one more topic that I wanted to get your opinion on.
Okay.
And kind of get your reaction on something that has been hitting the news recently. So a viewer tweeted to me and to Chris Broad
mm-hmm.
this I think article about these travelers who have been hanging out on the streets of different areas of Tokyo, like Omotesando or Shibuya, Ueno, with Japanese flags in hand.
Okay.
And what they've been doing is pretending that they're deaf and handing the Japanese flag to a local Japanese person, along with a card, which, and I'm paraphrasing here, says something along the lines of, "I am hearing impaired, this flag is for you, in exchange, please share 500 yen with me, thank you for sponsoring my trip to Japan."
Okay.
Yeah, I can see the look on your face. So for you know, listeners here who can't see Sherry's face, she's just blank and shocked. And that's pretty much the exact same reaction that I had when I first saw this. Like, we've all had that situation where you'll be walking through, you know, Ueno or something, and like a monk will walk up to you with one of those medallions, and like you're confused for a second. You're like, what is this? And then they hand you a card and they're like, oh, this is 1,000 yen or a donation or something like that.
Right.
And most people just politely hand it back and like, but to have, let's start with the topic of the Japanese flag. Their choice of items is rather interesting.
True.
Because I think the approach to a Japanese flag is really different than it is, like, for example, to an American flag or a Canadian flag. Like, Canadians and Americans will have flags of their own country. That's a normal thing.
Right.
Americans will fly them outside of their homes. Mm-hmm. Canadians, some people will put them in their windows. We obviously have them in all of our schools. Mm. But in Japan, you don't see as many Japanese flags flying. So on the topic of the Japanese flag itself, I feel like they're barking up the wrong tree on this one. Because, okay, correct me if I'm wrong in this.
Okay.
But a lot of Japanese friends have said to me that Japanese aren't particularly attached in the modern day to their own flag. Like, it doesn't have the same feel as like the American flag does for American people.
I think so, especially for young generations.
Yeah, especially for the younger generation. So, like, you know, if you were to go to an America Day, you know, 4th of July, right? Like Independence Day celebration, pretty much everyone has flags.
Mm.
They're all like flying. Does Japan even really celebrate Japan's national birthday or holiday?
Not like that.
No, not really. And if they did, can you imagine a bunch of Japanese people walking around waving Japanese flags?
Like, we do have like few events that people do that, but I personally don't even know where to get it.
Yeah.
And
you think about it.
Yeah. How did you guys get those flags?
I don't even know if I've seen them at like Daiso, the 100 yen shop.
I don't think they sell them.
Yeah. Now that you think about it, they must be picking them up online. So, my point being, because I feel we're starting to do what I always do in sidebar, is that as a Japanese person, would you feel particularly overjoyed to receive a Japanese flag?
No.
Let alone wanting to pay for it. But one of the articles that I read on this said that they feel that what these people are trying to do is take advantage of the good nature of Japanese people. Because you see, just the card saying, I'm deaf, this is 500 yen, that works on most people, right? But for Japanese people, it's even harder more often than not in a social situation to say no to somebody.
Possibility. Right?
So it seems like I think shortly after somebody tweeted Chris and I about it, Chris had said he was walking with one of his Japanese friends. Uh-huh. One of these people actually approached them, and his Japanese friend's natural reaction was like to stop and find out what's going on. Mm-hmm. That natural trusting nature. And while Japan, like every other country in the world, has a mix of people, nice people, not so nice people, just people in general, I feel like the writer of that article might have been on the right track by saying that these people are trying to take advantage of the kindness that is inherently in Japanese people and how they react to a visitor in their country.
Okay.
And so, like, in that situation, I would love to know you personally, how you think you would react. So I want you to imagine you're just finishing up your lunch in Shibuya. Uh-huh. You're walking back towards the station. And some person, without saying a word to you, foreign person or visitor, if you will,
all right,
walks up and hands you a Japanese flag and a card that says, I can't speak, or I'm deaf, right? This flag is 500 yen. Thank you for supporting my trip to Japan. How do you think you would react?
It's in Tokyo, right?
It's in Tokyo.
If it's Tokyo, I'm probably focused on where I'm going, and then I'm aware where, like, there are so many people handing stuff handing stuff, mm-hmm. like tissue papers and like most of them are like just flyers, right?
Yeah.
So there's a possibility, like when I see, like, I don't know how they are handing those, but the possibility, if they are if I saw the like Japanese flag, I instantly think that's like some sort of a cult or something.
Okay.
And probably I don't even turn around. If it's in Ehime, maybe different story.
Okay. So to give a little more context to the idea, it seems like they're like jumping in front of people and aggressively like putting the flag in their hand. They're not handing them to them. They're putting it in their hand. Okay. So they're like getting in front of you and like putting it in your hand. So if you were standing there 1 second waiting for the light to change, uh-huh. and next thing you know, someone had placed a Japanese flag in your hand and handed you this card saying, "This is 500 yen. I'm deaf. Thank you for sponsoring my trip." How do you think you would handle that?
This is a really, really difficult question.
Right?
Because yeah.
I've thought about it. And there's a large part of me that would like to be able to say, like, I would just hand it back and be like, just go away. But at the same time, when I really think about it, I think I might kind of freeze for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And then I might be like, well, like a small part of me is like, well, what if it's real?
Right.
And a large part of you is sitting there going, well, you know, it's probably not real,
right.
especially if you've read the articles. But if you have no idea what's going on, uh-huh. it's really easy to be caught off guard by this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think you would give the 500 yen?
Still, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here. I honestly, to be completely honest, I probably wouldn't. I've had the individuals, like I had a monk come up to me mm-hmm. a couple of years ago in Ueno when I was walking with my youngest brother, Jesse, and he handed us like a medallion made out of paper and colored gold and a card saying like, you know, something along the lines of, this is whatever, 500 yen donation. Mm-hmm. You actually don't have time in the moment, by the way, to read the whole card.
Okay.
Because there's so much pressure in that moment.
Right.
That you kind of scan the card and you see 500 yen or 1,000 yen. And you tend to react to that.
Mm.
But considering the fact that I was looking down to read the card, I looked down and this monk was wearing brand new Balance shoes.
What?
Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, part of me was like, okay, well, if he's going to be out and about and on his feet all day, I can understand the need for a good pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. But those look like pricey New Balance. And they were brand spanking new. So I handed it back to him. I tapped him in the arm with a smile and said, no, thank you. And we went on our way.
Okay.
And my brother was like, what was that? And I was like, I have no idea. I didn't even have time to read the card. So, but As a non-Japanese person in Japan, to uh-huh. hear that this kind of thing is happening, it definitely kind of dampens. It kind of goes back to the question of like that Japanese gentleman who jumped into the boat saying, thank you, Heisei, right?
Yeah.
And tried to jump into the river and hit the boat, mm-hmm. right? I asked how you felt about that as a Japanese person. As mm-hmm. a non-Japanese person for this situation,
yeah,
I'm kind of embarrassed. I'm almost appalled to know that this is out there.
Uh-huh.
Like, and I'm sure there's probably one or two like social justice warriors who are like now out there approaching them, but this thing is hitting the news more and more every single day. I think it's been on TV, it's been on all these articles. So you as a Japanese person, how do you feel about this? Do you feel like, oh, these are just poor travelers who are trying to make some money? Do you feel like they're clever about it? Do you feel like it's kind of gross? Like, how, when, now that you have an idea of the whole story, how do you feel about it? Not to put you on the spot at all, by the way.
I mean, there are so many different people, right? And then like at the same time, like I had a friend from high school who went to Europe. And it was like one of those like famous, how can I say it? Like touristy area.
Yeah.
And then they handed in the like a little bird on your shoulder or something,
okay.
and take a picture without permission.
Okay.
And then afterwards, I took a picture with the little cute bird. So now you pay me like 1,000 yen. or something like that. So I've heard of those kind of stories.
Yeah.
So like that's kind of depending on the person, like who, how you take it, right? Yeah. So like you, if you feel like that's a scam, and then like you have to be, you have to be brave enough to say no, thank you, in a polite way.
Yeah.
And so like I don't like, honestly, nobody likes those people who want to like trick over other people's kindness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, we kind of have to protect ourselves.
Exactly.
So that's my opinion.
No, and that's a really good point too, because one of the things that I want to point out is that it's not just these people and it's not just Japan. This is the kind of thing that happens all over the world all the time with a lot of different people who are like, oh, well, you know, I'm doing this, give me money,
right?
But one thing that I didn't cover, and I did a little bit of research after this, and it turns out that because they're not asking for like an open donation or something like that, they're actually asking for a direct payment for the flag, and they're saying, thank you for supporting my trip to Japan. This one is like really, it's not even gray zone. This is just straight up illegal. So okay. I'm more surprised than anything that a lot of these news stories haven't ended with these people being stopped by the police or arrested or something like that. So, but this is just one of those things that it kind of, it spanned the end of the Heisei era and started off the Showa era. This news came out like right during that time. Right. So getting back to our main topic of Heisei, am I saying it right now? I don't even know. Heisei and Dewa. There we go. I'm saying it right. So that being said, have you heard of people setting like new Dewa goals?
Yeah. Like a New Year's resolution kind of.
Yeah. But it's going to be one heck of a long year. But yeah. So have you heard of any of these like Dewa goals?
I think so. Like I just saw some on Twitter or something.
Okay. Would you say that you have a Dewa goal?
My Dewa goal?
Yeah. Because that, it, who knows? It could be the next 10 years. It could be the next 30.
Or like 100? No.
I don't think that. I don't think so. I don't think it's going to be 100.
I don't think so.
While Sherry's thinking this over, I'm just going to jump in here for a second to say that as things stand right now, I always have my own goals, so I don't have any Dewa-specific goals. But Sherry's making pretty solid eye contact right now, so I think now she's shaking her head now. She's like, no, I still don't have anything. So is it safe to say that you don't have any pre-planned Dewa goals?
Right, yeah. I didn't think of it.
It makes sense. I don't think everybody does, right? So if you don't have, but at the same time, at the very beginning of this episode, we talked about how you had kind of changed over your content name from Sherry Berry in Ehime to Sherry Y.
Right.
As in the letter Y, not like the question why.
Why?
Sherry, why? that was so bad. But you had changed it over in order to line up with the new Dewa era, right?
Right.
Excuse my sniffle there. I thought I was going to sneeze for a second. But that implies that you have new goals for your content over this. I guess the next couple of months, years or whatever. And we talked a little bit about that at the beginning. Your content had started out really introducing Ehime.
Right.
Probably more than anything. It was really just you introducing Ehime.
Yes.
And then you started sharing videos about your business.
Right.
And then how to start a business in Japan. And then just kind of started documenting your journey. So in the fashion of the new era of Dewa, what's next for your content?
I don't have like specific content ideas but now I was able to kind of like free myself from like I have to make something related to Ehime all the time. I like Ehime. I still live in Ehime and my business is in Ehime. But there were many things that I thought like, oh, maybe I could like share this story with other people. But then I stopped myself just because, oh, who cares? Because my channel is about Ehime.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like it was fine when I was like busy with going around Ehime and then tried to find something that's new to other people. But then I started getting a lot of like comments on my YouTube channels, and then like I started to connect with other people.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to show more than that.
Yeah.
And then the fact that like people liked my content of just talking about business, how I started and all that, and not just like, you know, I did this and I'm like, look, I'm successful. And I never put out that kind of content.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But including the struggles that I have, like people are very supportive and I kind of liked sharing those with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess like it's not like I'm stopping anything related to Ehime.
Yeah.
In Deiwa.
It's just you've removed the restrictions.
Yeah.
Well, the day you had arrived, I had gone out to the Tokyo Creative Learn like in-person seminar.
Yeah.
Where Aki and Chris and Sharla were sharing their tips on how to build your content in YouTube. And one of the things they said was, watch out what you name it. Because you could end up putting yourself in a box.
Right.
Like, for example, Sharla, it was Sharla in Japan until she wasn't.
Right.
Even Chris is like, he has no intentions of leaving Japan anytime soon. But he knows he doesn't really have the option in terms of YouTube because his title is Abroad in Japan.
Right.
Right. Whereas out of the three of them, Aki, who named her channel Aki Dearest, is kind of the safest, right?
True.
I'm kind of on the fence with mine because with Tokyo Lens, I kind of feel like, well, everything, in my mind, everything started in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I purchased a DSLR camera was in Tokyo.
Mm.
So everything that I've purchased has come from Tokyo. Everything I've done started from Tokyo. So whether I'm here or anywhere else in the world, I kind of feel like I could get away with Tokyo Lens because that's what gave birth to all of it.
Yeah, I think so.
But I feel like Sherry Berry in Ehime was very restricted.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So that being said, gives a little bit of an idea. I feel like how much people react to the Heisei versus Deiwa, you know, changeover kind of depends on the person.
I think so.
Also, maybe the industry they're in or the people that are around them.
Right.
It seems like it does hold some importance to you.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not as much as others and definitely more than it does to me. Is there anything else on this topic that you'd like to add or that you think would give value? If not, no pressure. Just wanted to give that opportunity.
It's just like, this is really, really my personal story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But as I said, like I was really focused on releasing the end video on time.
Yeah.
And I didn't really like realize exactly when the era changed.
Yeah.
I was up, but still I was like, I had to release the video. Yeah. And then it was like so much pressure to me.
There was no countdown for you. The countdown was just like, I have to release the video 10 minutes before.
Right.
And I'm guessing you don't even watch your own content when you release it.
No.
Yeah.
And I had to catch up with the comments and everything and make sure everything's right and share it on Twitter and Facebook and all that, right? And then I looked at my phone maybe way past midnight, and then my mom texted me like, Happy Deiwa or something like that. And then like we never really talked about like, you know, going to Deiwa because like my family, nobody really cared that much.
Yeah.
Right. And even if the person who seems that they didn't really cared, but actually like, you know, at the moment of actual era change, they want to do something. They want to share the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I think it definitely is possible to care about something at the last minute. Like right. more often than not, I get like that about Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like until Christmas almost hits, like I'm typically, I like to stay busy. So I completely don't even pick up on the atmosphere around me. Mm. And then when Christmas hits, boom, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I'm like number one Christmas guy, right? I got the Christmas sweater on and like, I'm just trying to, you know, you're borderline compensating for everything you've missed up until then. But anyway, we have been on this topic for quite some time now. I just want to thank you for making the extra time during your busy Tokyo trip to join us for this podcast episode. So thank you, Sherry.
Thank you for having me. I wanted to be on your podcast for a long, so I'm really happy that I'm here today.
Well, the last episode you were on was what, like 3, 4, 5 months ago? It was a while back.
Yeah, and I think it was like, you know, we were like walking down the street or something like that.
It might have
been. It wasn't
been.
Just me and you, right? There were some other people too.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. That was okay. That was another actual Tokyo creative event. And I think the episode that you were in before that was the one that we recorded in your office where we talked
about
Tokyo versus the countryside.
Oh yeah, that was a podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that battle is still going on, by the way. It has not been resolved. We just did a video a few days ago on a Japanese supermarket, and we kind of talked about how Tokyo wins some points over the countryside in that way because we have easy access to online supermarkets with cheap delivery.
Right.
So I almost never have to go to a supermarket anymore. But anyways, that is a topic for another time or a previous time. I don't know, maybe a little more in the future. Either way, the video for that is linked down below. For all of you who have joined this kind of discussion style podcast today, thank you so much. If you got any value out of it at all, it would mean the absolute world to me if you would take 10 seconds out of your day and jump onto iTunes and leave a review. Every single one of those actually helps me and helps the podcast. I do love reading them. A lot of you have left them lately. I can't wait to read. Like, if you're going to leave one today, trust me, I look forward to reading it. Thank you so much. That being said, one more time, thank you to Sherry for joining. Props, I'm going to reach across the room. There we go. And yeah, I will link Sherry's channel, which is now listed as Sherry Y, down in the description of this podcast. Thank you all for joining, and you know, I will talk to you again real soon.